It's a miracle. Lord, what you have planned, what you want to do, what you do and how you work things, it's miraculous. It's not according to, praise God, of my intelligence. It's not according to their intelligence. It's not according to technique. It's not according to anything that flesh can do. But it's according to the power that's working in us. And that power, that ability, that is of your Spirit. And there's nothing impossible with you. Nothing. Nothing. You take nothing and you make something out of it, but to you be the glory. And so, Lord, we look to you to minister to us, both in me giving and in all of us receiving, because I need to hear these words too. Because as your word says, Father, we live, and we actually do. We live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. You're the living God, and you speak. And today, I need to hear your voice today. And tomorrow, I'll need to hear it again, and the next day, and the next day. So, Father, we just ask you to do that for us today. And we thank you again, praise you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Turn me to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start where we left off, somewhere where we left off, about love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And it's not by what they say that we will know them. It's by their fruits, as it says elsewhere, right, in Matthew. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard it should come, and even now already is in the world. And as we said before, our evangelist given an example of this one time when a lady was prophesying. They had felt for a while that she was not in the right spirit. And so they challenged her when she was operating in the spirit, when she was bringing forth a prophecy. And they said, in the name of Jesus, I command you that Jesus Christ come in the flesh. And surprisingly, she said no. Because she was under the influence, she had submitted to that spirit, and so she was under that influence. It doesn't mean she wasn't saved. We'll get into that someday. It does mean that she was yielding to a certain spirit, and she had become familiar with that spirit, and the spirit had become familiar with her, and so she moved with that spirit, but it wasn't the Spirit of God. And so, but they couldn't just ask her blank when she wasn't in the spirit, in that spirit. Because she could just say, yeah, because she knows the verse. If she knows anything about her Bible, she knows that verse, and she knows that I'm not going to say he didn't come in the flesh. See, it doesn't matter what our mind says. It matters what my heart is, what my spirit, what is inside here. Okay, enough of that. You are the God. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them. Why? The reason you've overcome and the reason I've overcome is because, not because of us, but because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the reason we overcome. We just got to learn to follow what the leading of his spirit and be in the spirit, and then we'll always overcome. But the reason we don't always overcome is because we're not always in the spirit. So they that are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. The world will listen to them that makes sense. But we're of God, and he that knoweth God, they hear us. He that is not of God heareth not us. They don't hear us. They don't understand us. So by this we can tell what spirit they're of. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If we're speaking what God has told us, now somebody who is saved might not understand everything that we're saying. The people in the world are not going to grab what we're saying. They just can't grab it. They can't grasp it because it's not by intelligence. It's only the Spirit of God that opened our eyes to see it. We've got to come back to the fact that without him I could do nothing, I could be nothing, I'm nothing, right? He started the work in me. He opened your eyes. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so if my faith is in that, if I know the truth makes me free because I am not keeping myself. I got to put my, he started this work in me, and I got to trust him to finish it. As we were worshiping the Lord, one of the things you got to do when you worship the Lord, one of the bad things is as you begin to think, I get thoughts, you know, I get thoughts about this thing or that thing. And I get thoughts about, well, what's next? And what are we going to do here? And I got to keep shoving them back. I keep shoving them back. But today, something came to me, and I think that was God anyway. He began to show me some things in my life. And it's like, wow, because Courtney shared about Alex having these headaches. And I used to always get these. I used to get these headaches. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't function. And praise God, he delivered me out of them all. I mean, I don't have any headaches anymore. Yes, Satan, I don't have any headaches anymore. Don't. But that's the truth. He did it. And what amazes me, too, is the fact that, you know, I received Christ at 9 years old at Daily Vacation Bible School. I had a great Sunday school teacher. I really loved him. At that time, he was an older man. At my time, he was a younger man than me. But anyway, he was some kind of executive in a big company. He even taught us how to tackle. He's the kind of guy that would garden with a suit on, almost. I mean, it looked like he had dress slacks on when he was out gardening, and we were out there playing football he had a son about my age. And anyway, he taught us how to, now you wait till he gets, and they go in at the side. Don't go in the front, go in at the side. Anyway, he's just a down-to-earth guy. But anyway, but then something happened in my life, and Satan used that, and he pushed me away from God, and I was going away from God, and I was going away from God. I was running from God. So how did I end up here? Praise God. Amen. Amen. And the glory goes to God. It isn't. One of the guys, one neat thing is one of the guys down at Cleveland knew my brother. He knew my brother. At first when he said that, I thought, yeah, sure. I mean, you just think guys will tell you anything, sell you a car or anything. You know what I mean? It's just because I first met the guy in the jail and I just didn't, you know. Anyway, he did. He knew my brother. And so one time I was down there and after the Bible study, he came to me and he says, you know, it's all about decisions. You know, what a difference between you and your brother. Well, I know it's decisions that we make. We have to make decisions. But unless God draws us, we can't make the decision. Unless God gives us that ability. You know, we still, there's some personal, you know, I believe I could be a lot further along if I would have made some other decisions, done some other things. So, but I praise God. It's not just me. It's God. Amen. And it's not just you. That makes you free. That makes me free. Because I didn't get this far by my own determination. God got me here. And I look back, how in the world did you ever come to this place? How did it? Anyway, but again, God's going to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. He's going to do it. It's not going to be overnight, though. We always think it's going to happen like that. You're Cinderella. Nope. Through many toils and snares, we have already come. Praise God, he's delivered us out of them all. Amen? Amen? And he's started a work. He's going to continue to do it. Okay. The world can't hear us. They can't understand us. And we couldn't understand God. I can't understand God, but he was waiting there for me. And he called me back. He drew me out of the darkness. He drew me when I was running away. He caught me and drew me back. Praise God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins, the offering, the atoning offering. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, We have to understand something at all times when God tells us about doing something, about being something, is that without Him, I can't do it. Then the only way I can do it is with Him. I've got to turn it back over to Him again. I've got to call upon the name of the Lord, because I realize that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So I'm not going to get it from my flesh. I got to get it from Him. I got to get it from God. And in the love that God wants me to portray, the love that God wants us to have one for the other, it's not a love that we can produce. It's something that the Holy Spirit produces in us. And we keep reading here, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God, I'm going to put some extra words in here. Don't flip out, please. He's changing the scripture. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Actually, God is dwelling in you, and His love is perfected, or is being perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He is dwelling in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And the Spirit that He's given us is a Spirit that we actually do love one another. We actually find this expression in us that we do love one another. Now, we still have the ability to turn it off, because we're not robots. We still, and Satan's always tempting us. And Jesus said, offenses will come. Right? And who offends more than your brother or your sister sometimes? They say something and maybe it's jokingly or something. Who hurts you the most is somebody that you love, right? Right? So Satan wants to use that. Let no root of bitterness spring up whereby many are defiled. But we have to yield to that Spirit. And that Spirit is this, if we yield to it, then God overcomes and He gives us that Spirit of love. Have you ever apologized to somebody for something you said because afterwards you thought, oh my goodness, I don't believe I said that. And then you go and you say it to them and it didn't bother me any. But you know it wasn't right. But the reason it didn't bother them is because they were in the Spirit at the time. They were in the right Spirit. Amen? Right? Because somebody gets in the flesh. Remember that old old gospel song? And he didn't even shake my hand. You know, remember the song I'm talking about? Nobody knows. The pastor didn't even shake my hand. And it's like she's upset because he didn't shake his hand. Like, man. But this love is the love of God. And it's a love that God manifests in us. And we're going to see this because I'm going to show you the scripture pretty soon. You're going to see it. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of the Spirit. And this is that Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior, the deliverer of the world. So whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Now this is what we have to do. And this is the fight. It's a fight of faith, because there are times when this is sorely tempted. Because Satan comes and he says, well, if God did love you, why did he let this happen? Or why did he let that happen? Or why did this happen? When I get prayer requests like that, when I got these email, and there's this other place in Carr where these emails come from, and they're fighting over there, and they're against Christians. I mean, it's just, Jesus said, the world's going to hate you. Don't think it's strange if the world hates you. It hated me, it's going to hate you. If they hate anybody, they hate Christians. It doesn't have to be a reason. They just hate Christians. So when I get these prayer requests, it's like, God, you could stop this. Why don't you stop this? And we know, 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. I've got to believe that God loves me. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. I know by experience, and I know by what the Bible says. I've seen it in examples that we think we do, until we're put to the test. And that's why sometimes these tests come, because they don't reveal to God what's in us, they reveal to us what's in it, within us. Peter says, they might deny you, Lord, but I'll never deny you. Right? Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Never. You know, he probably never. And he was sincere, right? Right? I was somewhere recently and somebody introduced me and they said something about, you know, that he loves God with all his heart. And I always think, I want to. But this is one of the marks I got to press towards. This is one of the marks you and I have got to press towards, is that got to believe and have to know and believe the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so when I hear reports on the news, or I hear about what somebody did in government, or I hear about this thing or that thing, something rises up inside of me, and it's not the Spirit of God. It's the spirit of knuckleheads. What are you doing? Don't you know what you're doing? That's not love. Doesn't mean what they're doing is right. I mean, I can pray against some things that they're doing because they're wrong and it's going to bring destruction. But it's because we love them we want to pray. Amen? Amen? Satan's out to get us in touch with God. He's trying to stir us up. And sometimes I read last night they were talking about, I looked up this thing about Niger. And then there was, under the news, there was some comments and about what they should do with these, you know. And I'm thinking, wow, there is a lot of heat out there. And it's getting hotter and hotter. And it seems like, well, that's normal. They do this and we do that. We do this and we do that. But we've got to remember that love, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And if I want to walk with God, I've got to walk in love. That doesn't mean God won't judge people. He's going to judge people. It isn't because he doesn't take pleasure in the destruction of people or in the wicked, but he is just. Amen? There is a hell, right? So he does judge things on the earth too. That's the Roman Empire. But God is always ready there to bring out something, to bring a harvest out of it, to take something that is evil and turn it for good, if we would do our part. So we don't want to get involved in the flesh, but we do want to get involved with the love of God. God cares about the Muslims. God cares about the Christians. God cares about each individual person. They're his creation. And so we have to have that same attitude. And so we've got to know and believe the love that God has to us. No matter if you can walk out of here today and you got four flat tires, God still loves you. Especially if it's Brenda, because you don't even have a car, right? So you're safe, right? You're not going to have four flat tires. Whatever it is. I mean, sometimes it's the simplest thing. I can't get it to work. You know, it's like, or I go to do this or that, and it. Why have I said such? But it tries to get me angry. You know, I can get angry at things. No, I can't get angry at things. I've got to let the peace of God rule in my heart. But it says I've got to let it. I have the ability to let it. Or I have the ability to throw it. Or kick it. I won't curse. That's against my religion. It's against your religion, if you want to use that term, to get angry. Be angry and sin not. Right? Well, let not the sun fall down your wrath, but be angry and sin not. So anyway, you, Lord. All right. In everything, give thanks. Okay. So we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. This is really, okay. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God is dwelling in him. So when I'm in love, when we're walking in love, then is the ability to minister to people, not in our power and our ability, but in God's ability. Amen? Amen? But people can be so stubborn. People can be so, you know, so like us. I mean, it's like, why don't they understand? I'm telling them, why don't they get it? Because God is long suffering and he's patient, right? And believe me, he's been patient with me. More than I want to admit, more than I know. So here it is. But in knowing and believing the love that God has to me, in 17, this is the product. Herein is our love. Herein is my love and your love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So when we die and we go to heaven and we stand before the throne and judge, because he is our righteousness. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We're walking the world just like he walked the world, because he's living in us. Oh, one of the neat things about the Bible study was, after the Bible study, the guy comes up to me and he says, he's talking to me about some professor in Texas Theological Seminary. And he says, imagine this professor said this. And he says, it's actually the word of God is being manifested through our flesh. Yeah, I was just getting that. And so I thought, praise you, Lord. It was just a confirmation to me, praise God. God is going to perfect this love in us, but we've got to believe it. We've got to believe in it. Amen? Amen? So he loves me. No, he's not going to allow anything to happen if I set my love on him, if I believe it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we love him because he first loved us. And sometimes there is this sudden fear, but we don't dwell in that fear. You know, all of a sudden somebody cuts out in front of you, you know, it's like, ah. When you have a thought and it comes to you, well, I want to go do this. Oh, you better not do this because this might happen. Oh, you better not do that because that might happen. That fear is there because I am not made perfect in love. I'm not believing that God loves me. Again, I can say things with my mind, and I notice that too. I see it in other people, and I know it's in me too. Because I only know what I know. I don't know what I don't know. I don't experience something till I experience it. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear of torment. So when I'm walking in this love, it'll perfect me. If I'm believing in God, I'm believing what he says. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Yeah, well, how do I do it? How is it done? I want to do it, but then somebody does this, or somebody says that, or this happens, or that happens, and then these temptations come not to love, but to hate or to despise or to just want to walk away. Okay, let's go to 2:13 first, and then we're going to go to 3:12. But 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you have heard of us, you received it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Amen? So the word of God will work in me, and he works in me according to my believing it. As James says, I'm receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save my soul. The word of God is able to change me. I've got to put my faith in that word. It's not just the fact that, well, he wants me to love, so I'm going to go out and try and love people. You can't do it without him. But I'm believing, we're believing, and we're going to believe that we can do it with him. Amen? It's his will that we walk in love. Amen? So if it's his will, then only thing we need to do is to ask, seek, and knock, and it's ours. Because he says it's ours. Because it's his will. I want to see this. Chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So God is able to cause you and I to abound in love one toward the other. Amen? And if we love our brother, if we do it the least of our brothers, we've done it unto him. Amen? So loving God and loving one another, it all goes together. It's the same love. Jesus prayed that prayer, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. And that's what Jesus prayed, and that's what God's going to do, and that's what God wants to do. I've got to believe it and receive it by faith. Amen? Amen? Because I know in myself, I don't have the capacity to love. I had this thing, I had this hang up that I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to lie. You know what I didn't want to lie. She'd say, you know, do you love me? And I said, yeah, I love you. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to check myself inside here. Is there any doubts? I don't want to lie. I don't want to lie here. And that's not very good for a relationship. You know what I mean? They want to hear sweet nothings. And I'm not good at whispering a bunch of... I heard an evangelist, and I always hang on this word. He says, you women out there want somebody to bring you candy and roses and whisper sweet nothings in your ear. He says, but you can't get him to work. So if you got this guy who works for you and he does this and he does that, be satisfied. Praise God for it. Amen? You can keep praying for the other part. But now I can say that. I can say it to her truthfully. But it was really hard for me to say, to commit, oh, I don't know if I 100%, I just don't know. It's not that I love somebody else. It says, I don't know if I can love anybody. But now I can believe this, and you need to believe this, right? That God loves you. Amen? Doesn't matter what you've done. In fact, if you've sinned, he still loves you. And that's the way out. That's the way out of the sin, is to believe that God loves you. Because when you sin, that's one of the things Satan does, is he brings the condemnation on you. And then you can't go to God and you feel like, oh man, I really messed up. So I gotta stop sinning for a week or so that I can go back to God and ask God to cleanse me from it. Well, it ain't gonna happen. God is there. He's waiting to deliver you from your sin. You should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You can't save yourself from your sin. You can't stop yourself. But if you call out to God and trust in him, he can bring it to pass. Amen? Amen? But you got to believe that he loves you. You got to believe that what you're doing is wrong. You can't say, well, you know, he loves me, so he'll overlook this. I know he'll overlook this. You don't want him to overlook anything. You want to get it fixed. Amen? Let it rather be healed. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. But not just physically, spiritually. If he heals me spiritually, a lot of the other stuff's going to be taken care of. Amen? Because sin is the beginning of sickness. Sin opens the door to sickness. Because it's the devil's will, it's the devil's way, and we've yielded to the devil, we've opened the door to the devil. We believe in God. We believe what he says to us, that he does love us, for God so loved the world. And he still, even in your sin, he still loves you. He commendeth or introduced his love towards you, and that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. When I was running from God, I got in jams sometimes. One time I was in an airplane. And we're on our way to this place going over these mountains, and the guy next to me, it's a military plane, and we're sitting on the side of the planes. And so he says to me, he says, well, one thing about these prop planes is, he says, if they, you know, the engines go out, he says, they can glide down, but a jet, they just go like this, something like. So he didn't sooner get that thing out of his mouth, and all of a sudden, you know, we start to hear something funny. And then the guy says, we have to go back to the airport because we have engine trouble. uh-oh. No, it's like, oh, man. Well, this prodigal guy started, save us, Lord. help me. And he got me back. God loves you. God isn't looking for an excuse to exterminate you or to put you aside. He wants to bring you into the fullness of what he has called and chosen you to be in Jesus Christ. And so these things that are in us that have to be dealt with, they have to be taken out of our lives, he's going to reveal them to us. But he doesn't reveal them to us so that we get cast down and say, oh man, I didn't know this was in me. I didn't know that. No, it's just that we can give it to God. We can give it back to God. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. You go to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read something in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on the way there. And you know this is a familiar thing. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Where is your victories? Death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't earned, it's received by faith. Amen? The law means you have to keep these things in order to get it. But the administration of the Spirit is God gives it to you by the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen? But it comes by us believing in what He says to us. Amen? Yeah. So we're believers. We're believing what He's saying to us, and we believe He's going to talk to us. And so when He says something to us and He brings it to our attention, then we just need to do it. But we got to do it in faith and do it in the Spirit, knowing that He's not just telling me to get in the flesh and try to do it, because I can't. And He knows I can't. I can do, you can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens you. So when Christ strengthens us, we will fulfill the call, the purpose wherewith God has called us. Amen? That's why we pray one for another, that we be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. This is what God does. He isn't saying, well, when you get filled with the knowledge of His will, then you'll be able to do what's right and what's wrong. No, what He's saying is when He fills you with the knowledge of His will, it's God that's working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Amen? He's filling you with a knowledge of His will. It's like being granted, that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. It isn't just this kind of a knowledge. It's a knowledge that's in my spirit. It's a knowledge that's written on my heart. And what's in my heart, I become, because that becomes my nature. Right, honey? Nature. She usually reads the devotional in the morning. And so there was one devotional about nature and natural. And so if you never knew, how would you pronounce natural? Natural, right? Natural? You know, you're looking at me, you don't believe it. But you can believe it. So anyway, so what God wants to do is to change you and I, our nature, and give us His nature. Amen? So that when we're in a tight spot, when we're being tested, out of our innermost being flows this river of living water. And it's not coming out of my head, it's coming out of my spirit. Amen? It's coming out of your spirit because God has written it there. He's put it there because you're walking with God and He's walking with you. And He's writing His laws on your heart and He's putting them in your minds. And so when you open your mouth wide, He fills it. That's what I love about teaching, is because when I'm up here, when I try to figure out what I'm going to say beforehand, is crazy. I can't, but it just comes. Things just come. Some things I have to discern. You know, God does not take credit for the corn, but the other stuff, you're supposed to try those things that are good. Okay, Ephesians 3. So, okay, here's This is a prayer. And so when we pray this prayer, we need to understand what's happening here. It isn't just a nice sounding prayer. This is how Christianity works. This is how we're changed. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3, 7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Amen? Paul wasn't a missionary because he was educated by Gamaliel. Paul wasn't a missionary because he was the most dedicated person, because he had the smarts, or because it was this or that. But he was made a minister. Amen? And you're made, God is making you into his image. He's making you into what he wants you to be in the body of Christ. Amen? He is doing it. I'm not doing it. You're not doing it. He's doing it. As long as I believe and trust in him, he's going to bring it to pass. Because it's nothing impossible with God. Amen? Praise God. He can fill airheads. 14. So Paul's going through this persecution and trials, and he doesn't want them to be discouraged because of what he's going through. And so he's praying for them, and they ought to be praying for him. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. Again, here's this gift. Give you according to the riches of his glory. Not according to your ability, but according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might. That you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? In your inner man, the new creation, your spirit, strengthened by his Spirit. Amen? Amen? He's praying this. He isn't praying this because it would make him sound good to them. I mean, he's making it so they would, wow, this is great. But they've got to believe it. He's praying. They believe Paul was sent. They believe Paul was an apostle. And Paul's praying this for me. And I know it's God's will that I do this or be this. Well, then I got to believe that he's going to do it. That Christ, may actually dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ would actually dwell in your, he's going to dwell, he's going to live there by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. So unless I'm strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, I can't understand this love. I can't be rooted and grounded in love. But when I and you and I are strengthened by his Spirit in our inner man, then Christ is going to dwell in our hearts by faith, and we're going to be rooted and grounded in love. Amen? And our love for one another is going to abound. Amen? It's not us trying to do it, but it's something that's in there that we've got to let it out. That you just let it out. Amen? We don't reason with it. We just let it out. So that we may be able, because we're not able to comprehend what God's doing here, but that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth? We sang that song today. What is the length? What is the depth? What is the height? You can't know it in your mind. You just can't think it out. Well, he gave me his son. That would really be something if I gave my son to die. There's just times that it doesn't come that way. It doesn't come through reasoning. It comes by the power of God. Amen? Just like healing. God heals people. It doesn't come because they ate garlic. It didn't come because but if he told them to go eat garlic, you can go eat garlic. Whatever God tells you to do. But the thing is, it's from God. Amen? We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. Satan's always trying to get me and us back into the law. Always trying to bring it about. When God wants us to be free, to come to him and ask. You're a child of God. Ask your Father. He delights in giving good gifts to his children. Amen? He wants you to, can I say that? Maybe I better not say it that way. Anyway, he wants you to be just like him. Amen? I saw a video somewhere. I think it was a country westerns video somewhere. Song. Anyway, and then I heard the song. But I think the guy was walking, and the little boy was walking after his father, just like his father walked. You know, I forget how, you know. But I mean, he was that. You know, they just mimicked their dad, right? It's natural. It's natural. It's natural. If we're looking at him, we are going to be changed into that image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But to our natural mind, it's too easy. It can't be done that way. I know I've got this problem. I got to do something about it. Yes, you got to do something about it. You got to give it to God. You've got to believe in His ability. You've got to believe He loves you. And then He has all this stuff up there He wants to give you. All these attributes He wants you to have, He has them. Amen? That's why He wants to live in you. That's why He wants to talk through you. That's why He wants to minister through you to people. Did you ever feel frustrated when you're dealing with somebody? Like, what can I say to them? This woman that you know we want to see down there, she has all these physical problems. And it's just like, God, you know, how can we get through? How can we... You know God heals. He healed you. You know, you can't... But He can. Amen? He can open our understanding like that. We need to pray this one for another and need to believe that it actually does work. Amen? We're going to see something here in a little bit. Just a little bit. This is great. I mean, this is great because God put this here. It's great. Okay, that you might know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled. Now, this is just passes my understanding. That I might be filled with the fullness of God. And like I said before, I never knew this before, but He's talking about not an individual. He's talking about the church. He's talking about us as a local body. That when we walk in this love and we're strengthened with might in our inner man by His Spirit, and Christ is dwelling in our heart by faith, that we're being rooted and grounded in love, that we start to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of God that passes knowledge, then we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen? Because I'm just a part of the body, and you're just a part of the body. But when the whole body is working in love, they're walking in the Spirit. It won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but I'll tell you what they will fulfill. The will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, the more and more we get that God, we allow God to do this in us, the more and more we will walk in the will of God, and we'll see it in a minute. Okay, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, way above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. That's His Spirit. And unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Praise God. 4:14. That ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4:14. By the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. These are these evil spirits that are in these people. They're trying to get us off of the track. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things. But speaking the truth, actually speaking the truth to one another probably be better. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly, like gears going together, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, not according to your might, not according to your power, but according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now you gotta chew on that a while. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I mean, it's like a snowball again, a snowball effect. It just keeps increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. Our love for one another grows, but we're walking with God, and every part is supplying. Everybody's in the Spirit, and we're encouraging one another and strengthening one another in the Spirit. It doesn't mean we all get up and preach sermons, but it does mean spiritually we are encouraging and strengthening one another. And in the end, the bottom line is the will of God is being performed in each one of our lives. Amen? And to God be the glory. Then you have the gifts of the Spirit, right? The gifts, the healings, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and all these other things manifested through the Spirit. And every joint is supplying, and there's no tension, and there's no self-glorying. It's just building up one another. And it makes a habitation for God. Amen? Amen? When you get to that level, it's really opening up for a supernatural manifestation of the glory cloud. Amen? You know, and I've heard things, I've read things about things that happen, like pulpits being split right in half, and about people, you know, the pastor falling out, everybody's falling out, and just that one congregation in Texas there, and everybody in the congregation fell out. And then the second meeting was, they had, I don't know how many meetings in the day, but the second meeting they came in, and as they came into the foyer, they fell down, and they were just stacked up, like somebody stacked them up. That's not normal. That's not your normal Christian church, right? But with God, all things are possible. But that, you know, that's neat stuff. But what really is neat is that I can honestly say, I want to get to it. I can honestly say, Father, I love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all my strength. I want to do whatever you want me to do, no matter what it is. As long as you don't send me over here, as long as you don't tell me to do this, I'll do this. I want to do this. That's where I am now. I'll be honest with you. But I want to be the place where I'll do whatever he wants me to do when he wants me to do it. Amen? Yes. We all want to be there. And you can't get there in the flesh, but we can get there in the Spirit, because God is going to be our help. God is going to bring it to pass in our lives as we allow him to work in us and through us. We're almost done. Chapter 5, Ephesians 16. So redeem the time, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well, are the days evil? Amen. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Again, here it's not just talking to yourselves. It includes that, you know, but speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this, you know, it says about, you know, submitting yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, when we're walking, this is the practical side, and then it goes into, you know, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And we don't need to go any further there. But there's a reason why he's bringing this up, not just because it's practical sense, because there's something here spiritually too. Yeah, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Okay, 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, separate it unto himself, and cleanse it. How? With the washing of the water by the word. And this word isn't just the word spoken from the pulpit. It's even the words that are spoken to you in your devotional time, or the words when you're working or doing something else, and all of a sudden a word of God comes to you. He sends his word to heal you, to cleanse you, to wash you. Amen? Amen? Even if it shows you something that you're doing wrong, you just got to praise God because he's talking to you. Amen? That he might present it to himself. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he that it should be holy and without blemish. That it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. So because he loves us, and it says this is the same thing a husband ought to do for his wife. He ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. So he loves us, just, and it's, he's using the marriage as an example. But this is exactly what he's doing. This is what he wants to do. He wants to provide for us. He wants to minister to us. He wants to protect us. He wants to be everything that we need. So that's why we submit ourselves to him. Amen? Knowing that all things come from him to us. And then the last part is 32. Now this is a great mystery. Well, I want to read 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The church is to be submitted to Jesus Christ as a wife is to be submitted to her husband. We don't tell Christ what to do. We're here to do whatever God wants us to do, whatever Christ wants us to do. Amen? So we submit ourselves to him, and as we have communion with him, as we walk with him, as we fellowship with him, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The two shall be made one. The two shall be made one. And what did Jesus pray in John 17? That they all may be one, even as we are one, right? That they all may be made perfect in one. This is what he's doing. It's marvelous, isn't it? It's beyond my comprehension. But this is what he's doing. This is what he wants to bring us into. We really do walk with him and talk with him and really do believe that he loves us. And no matter what fear the enemy brings up, no matter what thoughts he brings up, no matter what pictures he brings up in us, we can dissipate it because we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and we're perfected in that love because we believe in it. Amen? Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. Father, we look unto the Father of lights, whom all blessings flow. There's no shadow of turning with you. Every good and perfect gift is coming down from above from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You started this good work in us. And Lord, you want to take us further than we ever thought we would ever go. It's one thing to be a son of God. It's another thing to be one with you. And we desire it, Father. We ask you, Father. Keep drawing us on. Don't let us stop. Don't let us draw back. Let's not draw back in fear. Let's not the enemy deceive us in thinking we can't do this. I know me, I can't do this. But we know we can't do it without you. But we're believing in you, Father. You brought us this far, and we never thought we'd get this far. But you want to take us further, closer and closer to you, where we have this relationship with you, Father, one-on-one, and with your Son, Jesus Christ. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And you want to make us one. And we thank you for this. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.